Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music that we have enjoyed this morning. What a blessing it has been. And each one had the songs and the congregational singing. But what a powerful song the choir sang this morning. And if that's just any indication of what it's going to be like Easter around here. Amen. I mean, I'm excited already. But what a blessing that was. Very powerful message on the resurrected Savior. I love that. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, we're going to be reading verse 20 down to verse 32 this morning. Acts chapter 27, if you will stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 20, the Bible says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, thank you, Lord God, for first and foremost your presence in this place. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available for all who have taken advantage and are here today. And thank you, Father, for the powerful Word of God. As we look and focus on this passage of Scripture in the book of Acts, I pray, God, that you'd give each one here insight into it. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your word to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, being shipwrecked on his way to Rome, he was there because he was going to stand before Caesar, and Paul was going to be used by God in ways that we don't even fully understand. Before they would set sail for Rome, Paul would have warned them. They would not listen to Paul. If you look back in verse 9, it says, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, I get it. Paul was not a sailor. And the centurion had to decide and make a decision whether they should sail or not. But to dismiss the warning of a servant of God, a preacher, That was something that he should have taken a little more serious. And I think when Paul brings that up later, it was not to say, I told you so. I don't believe that Paul was doing that. Paul was just saying that you didn't listen to God to start with. You didn't listen to the servant of God. You didn't listen to the message that God had for you. And it's about time, and after what we've gone through, for you to listen today. And I believe that's why Paul presented that. Because it didn't take long after they would sail that it got so bad that everyone on the ship, except for the Apostle Paul, possibly, had thought, this is it. All hope, the Bible says in verse 20, was taken away, that they were going to live through this ordeal. They had already, at this point, accepted the fact, we're going to die in this storm, in this ship. Well, Paul, the servant of God, takes over at that time. Now, I love that. Paul, with his boldness, but he was not bold because of himself. He was bold because he had heard from God. In verse 21, the Bible says, but after long abstinence, we find that Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Amen. It seemed like everyone at this particular time was very receptive to hear from Paul. They were not receptive to start with. It's amazing what a trial will do. It's amazing what facing death will do. It's amazing what will happen to us and how we might let our guard down and be more receptive. We go through trials and tragedies. Even as a nation, as we look back over the years of the United States, we were faced with war, we faced with major tragedies. People are very receptive to believe in God. When there's no hope that man can save and no hope that man can deliver, people are much more receptive to pray and call out for national prayer. Call out to a God to save them when all hope was gone. They were receptive at that time, but did everyone truly believe? Or were they acting out of fear and possibly even being a captive audience? They couldn't get off the boat. They couldn't walk out of the auditorium when the preacher was preaching. It was a captive audience. And with that, and I study this, this has been on my heart and mind all week as I've been preparing to preach this morning. Is God's message being received today? And let's even break it down more. I'm going to preach a message to you in verse 25 where Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Do you? You're here this morning. Praise the Lord for that. That's a evidence there's something going on. You're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, independent, fundamental Baptist church. There's something going on in your life. And the question this morning is, not only is God's message being received today, but do you believe God? Do you truly believe God? Paul preaches God's message. Now, Paul, in the beginning, in verse 10, he said, I perceive. He said, I perceive. This is my feelings, and yet I'm in touch with God. I know I'm a servant of the Lord. I know he's got a purpose for my life. I know things are going on. And he said, I perceive that, no, we shouldn't sail. We should wait here. And they dismissed it. But now after everything that's happened, he didn't stand and say, I perceive this time. Paul stood up and said, I heard from God. And this is what God said. I believe every preacher worth his salt, if he's going to stand up and preach the word of God, he had better spend some time with God to hear what God has to say to the people that he's preaching or teaching at that time. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, he said this. This angel of God brought me the message of God, and this is exactly what I am to present to you. God said this. It was a direct message from God's word. Now today, I don't ever want anyone to think that I audibly hear the voice of God. I do not hear the audible voice of God. I study his word. This is the very voice of God. It's been written down, and God has preserved it for us so that it might allow me as a preacher to be able and ready and to deliver the message that God has to his people. Whatever service you might come to, can I tell you, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's Sunday night, whether it's Wednesday night, when we assemble ourselves together and we come out here to worship God, and I stand before you, I've spent some time with God, I've studied the Bible, I know what God would have me to present at that service. God's the one that determines who's here. I drive my wife in. That's about the only one that I know is going to come. I'm assured she's coming because she's with me. Everybody else, God somehow worked in your heart, worked in your life for you to say, I'm going to church, and for you to influence somebody else. And whoever rode with you, they're in church today. I don't know from one service to the next. Now, I have somewhat expectations. I believe that my staff would be here if they want to keep a job. And their families, because they're going to say, I'm going, and if you're riding with me, get in. I would expect that most of the officers of the church, because they had agreed to be faithful to the church services, and they have signed, if you will, a verbal agreement to the church before they were ever elected. I will do this, I will do that. This is expectations that you can expect from me, because I am a servant of the Lord. I am serving him in this capacity as an officer of the church, whatever it might be. There's certain ones that, yeah, there's expectations to be here. I don't know. I mean, there's people that come in here that look at me and they said, do you remember me? And I kind of cringe. I don't know, should I? And back from before I ever surrendered to the Lord, back in my days of secular work, the one just last week come that was back in my high school. He said, I've seen that name and heard that you were a preacher. Couldn't believe it. I said, neither could I at that time. I don't know who's going to come through the doors of this church at any given service, but it's not for me to look to let that control what I preach and what I stand up here to present. That's up to God. I've just got to spend time in God's word to be prepared to be used of God to preach his word. That was Paul. Paul had boldness to stand up at this time when everyone else was ready to die. They'd given up all hope. There was no hope, no hope at all that they were going to be saved from this storm. They were going to die at sea. But Paul heard from God, and it was a message that every one of them, 276 men on that boat, needed to hear. And Paul was ready as a servant of God to present God's message. It's up to everyone there whether they believe it or not. It was up to everyone there to determine what they were going to do with what Paul said. But Paul preaches God's message as a direct message from the very voice of God. In doing this, Paul gave them, first of all, hope. And I love that. Because, can I tell you, the Bible is filled with hope. Amen. It's often been said that the very worst thing about hell, it will not be the fire. It will not be the pain and suffering. The worst thing about hell is the loss of hope. Without God, there is no hope. The loss of ever escaping, getting out of a place prepared for Satan as his angels. So Paul presents that of hope, of positive thoughts. The first thing that he says to them, and he knows where they're at, they have given up hope and they're ready to die. He says in verse 20, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. They have already somewhat given up hope, accepted the fact they're going to die, and somebody gets up and says, praise God. Somebody gets up and says, be thankful. Somebody gets up and says, be of good cheer, rejoice. Have you ever been there? You say, how in the world? Yeah, you can rejoice. You're not where I'm at. It's easy for you to say that. You're not going through all the trials and you're not facing death and you're not facing this and facing that. And you're telling me in the midst of all this to be of good cheer? How can you tell me that I have something to cheer about? And then he tells them, I've heard from God. I can tell everyone that ever comes through the doors of this church here at any given time, if they're going to hear the word of God, and that's something to be thankful for. That's something that you can rejoice over. That's something that you can be of good cheer about. No matter what else is going on, you've come to the right place. You've come to a place where you're going to hear a message from the Bible, and the Bible gives us hope. No matter what your circumstances. Yeah. Be of good cheer, positive. Positive. I don't know, some of you might remember old B.M. Page. He had a radio broadcast here when that's all you had is radio. Amen. I mean, he preached all the way out. He was late 90s. I know that. I don't know exactly how old, maybe 96, 97. Preaching to the end. And one of the things that he would always say, cheer up. You'll soon be dead. He had bumper stickers, and you could see these on cars all around the city. Cheer up! You'll soon be dead. Now, to the lost man, they said, what kind of a wacko wood is that? How in the world can you cheer up that you'll soon be dead? When you understand the very words of God, when you understand that this life is only temporal and we have an eternity to look forward to, you can cheer up when you're dying of cancer. You can cheer up when you've lost your best friend. You can cheer up no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is that you're facing. When you focus on what God has prepared for all of us, if you're saved, you can be cheerful. Because it's coming. It's guaranteed. It's a promise from the Creator of all things. You might not experience it. Not everybody experiences healing in this life. But heaven holds a healing for every believer. Amen. Healing of any and everything that you might be facing. Amen. And when you think about that, you can smile. His positive is be of good cheer. And then he tells them in verse 24, the other positive is you're going to live. You're not going to die today. God has a purpose for me, and evidently he brought you along. He's got a purpose for each one of you. And you're going to experience something in this life at this time that will impact your lives, and you'll be telling people for the rest of your life how God delivered you from the storm. That's positive. Don't go out of here and say independent Baptist fundamental preachers always preach negative stuff. No. The Word of God has more positives. Jesus preached more on the positives than any of the negatives. But the negatives had to be revealed. The ship will be destroyed, and you're going to be on it. Not going to be fun. Now, when the ship's falling apart and it crashes into the rocks and the winds are still blowing and the storm is overhead, the waves, it's not going to be desirable. Things will get worse before they're going to get better. Just hold on to what's going to be the end result. You're going to live. But you're going to be on the ship when it's being torn apart. And not only that, you're going to be a castaway on an island. That's a reality. We have to face reality. Reality is what's negative. Reality of this life is what's negative. But we have to understand what a sin nature will do. We have to understand what Satan's able to accomplish, how he will try to devour. What God reveals to us is what we need to know, not necessarily what we want to hear. I trust that's why you come to this church, because you want to hear the Bible. Not necessarily what everyone wants to hear, but it's exactly what we need to hear. Yeah. After he gets up and he preaches, he gives them God's message, their faith would be tested. They all wanted to believe it. They all wanted to have good cheer. And I believe at the time they did. But maybe some of them thought it's going to be instantaneously. It's coming right now. Didn't happen that way. Very seldom does it. Verse 27, but when the 14th night was come, several more days would pass. Nothing seemed to be changing. Preacher said, I had this promise. Preacher said that God would do this. Well, listen to me. First of all, don't refer to it as just what the preacher said. Understand, if the preacher said it, you better back it up by the Bible. And when you walk out of here, stop thinking about what the preacher said. Start remembering what the Bible teaches. Amen. And if it's God's word, put your faith in it. Amen. If it's what God says, it's a promise from God, and you meet that requirement of that promise, then count on it. Amen. Because your faith will be tested. The 14th night was come as we were driven up and down in Adria. I mean, it was just still black and total darkness. This storm in the ship was being thrown around, tossed. I don't know if you've ever been on a ship in the ocean when there's huge waves. I've been on a couple there. Matter of fact, on Lake Erie, went out fishing one time, and it was a little windier, and it was sunny outside, but the waves were throwing this smaller boat around. I got so sick. They started catching fish, and I said, I don't care about catching the fish. I want to go back to land. You paid all the money. You come out here. I don't care. I'm sick. Amen. Went whale watching off of San Diego one time, thinking, wow, this is going to be a fun time. Had to go about an hour and a half. Time we get out there, I'm sick. I took Dramamine. I put the patch on. I did everything. I'm sick. the whale started jumping up right around our boat. I said, I don't care about no stinking whale. I'll watch it on television. Get me back to shore. Yeah. I can only imagine 14 nights of this kind of activity. Wow. Dark, cold, wet, people throwing up all around you. Yeah. Afraid, questioning God. Where is God? Been there? The Bible says this, and God promises that. I don't feel like that, and He is fulfilling His promise. He says He'll not put more on me than what I'm able to bear. I don't feel like He understands. I'm not able to bear this. Where is God? Where is the promise? Faith is being tested. Don't put a timeline on God. You're not testing God. Through trials, He tests our faith. And as you go through the trials that God puts you through, it's to help strengthen your faith for what's to come for the rest of your life. Where is God? You might not sense Him. You might not feel like that He really knows where you're at. But claim His promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Hold on to that. Through all the trials. No matter how long they stick around. Some devise their own plan. Sometimes we get into the midst of the trials and instead of holding on to our faith, we decide, no, I don't see God. I'm going to do it my way. Crazy. That's foolish. God's your only hope. Yeah. But we find some devise their own plan. Look at verse 30. And the shipmen. Now, again, while they were there, they actually knew that they were getting close to land. They started sounding, and this gives us insight into how they used to know where they're at in the sea and all the different things. But they sounded the depth horn, and they'd find out how deep it was by sounding this. They had that kind of technology even at that day. And they found that they were getting closer to land because the depths was getting closer. And sometimes if you've ever been on the ocean and the beaches, you know, you can go out forever and only drop down a foot or so, you know. It's very gradual going down until you get too far out and the tide wants to take you the rest of the way out. But the idea here is when you're coming up on ground on land, then we know that the water is getting shallow. And most of the times out around where they was at, especially on the islands, there would be rocks. And if they get too close, the big ships would hit the rocks and the rocks would devour the ships, would destroy the ships, and they would drown because they couldn't make it from that point into shore. And so they knew they were getting close, but it's in the midnight, it's dark, they can't see anything. So they did throw out the anchors to start slowing things down until they could see day. Well, the shipmen realized the danger, and they didn't want to keep the faith. And so we find that the Bible says in verse 30, and as the shipmen, they knew the ocean, they knew what was taking place. These are the ones that were used to being on the ocean, the seas. The shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea. They had these lifeboats, but only a few could get into lifeboats. Could not take everybody. When they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. That under color means under pretense. They were saving themselves with no regards for who else was on board. Can I tell you, if it's something like that, automatically realize that's not of God. God would not have us to think of ourselves and be selfish and just saving ourselves. So they were not being led of God to check things out. They had devised a plan not believing in God and wanting to do it on their own. But God reveals it to Paul. God reveals it to Paul in verse 31, verse 32. Paul was still steadfast in his faith because he had heard from God. Verse 31, the Bible says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now, I love this. Paul using wisdom. He went to the centurions. These were the soldiers. There's 100 of them. There's probably some 100 of the shipmen, and there's a few of them that's wanting to escape and not having faith in what Paul had said. And so Paul says, now we can't allow them. We need all of them to guide the ship close enough to where we're all going to be safe. He was wise enough to know that God had a plan to get the ship close to shore. And so he goes to the centurion and he says, if these few get off the ship, you're going to die. Which the centurions, when they were told that if they let them leave, they're going to die, whether they believed in God or not, they were not going to let them get off that ship. So Paul here is taking charge once again, and God gives him wisdom to go ahead and have faith and do what everybody needs to do, whether they want to do it or not. If he had the control over keeping everybody on the ship, he was going to use that control because he knew what the word of God said, and he was going to be an influence for God. Amen. Sometimes in our families, not everyone has the faith that you have. Husbands, you need to be the spiritual leaders, and you need to have the faith and encourage your family that we're going to stay and we're going to do God's will. Well, the centurions, they were the soldiers. These fishermen were no match for the soldiers. And so they didn't get off. And what the soldiers did, I believe this was of Paul, they cut off the ropes. What a great lesson. He did not want to leave temptation in reach. Too often, we leave temptations in reach that will take us away from the will of God. The Bible says that we are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. You need to be sold out in your belief in what God says. We're sold out to that. I'm going to get rid of anything that would be a temptation for me to go opposite God's will for my life. I need to cut off those ropes. If it's other relationships and you've been trying to witness to them, but they become more of an influence on you than you are to them, cut off that rope. Don't give up on people. We need to continue to pray. But if I'm around, whether it be family or friends or coworkers, if I'm around them and they're having more of a negative impact on me than I have on them, I need to cut off that temptation, because if I don't cut that off, they're going to eventually get me to do what they want me to do instead of me getting them to do what I want them to do. They're having more influence on me. Cut off that rope. Parents, understand that your children, especially as they get older in their teen years, they're going to have temptations that's going to impact them to get away from the will of God. And you as a parent have to realize they cannot. I am going to cut off that temptation. I'm not going to give them that opportunity to be tempted to go opposite God's will for their lives. You have that call. You have that position. You have God's word, and you have a position of authority over your children, and you had better use it. I have that position as a pastor, And I guarantee you, when you come to this church, I am going to do everything within my power to influence you according to the Word of God. Cut off those ropes. What Paul exhorted them to do right afterwards is very important. We don't have time to go into all of it, but listen to me. If you would read verse 34 down to verse 37, they were to eat to stay strong. Keep your health. Keep your energy level where it needs to be. Pray. Give thanks. Rejoice. And stay busy. While they were waiting for God's plan to unfold, when they were waiting to get through this trial, to see God's deliverance, they need to pray, give thanks, rejoice, stay busy. Well, what great counsel. Are you there? Are you in the midst of a storm? Are you dealing with something? Do you truly believe God? If you believe God, don't let anyone influence you in any other way. You say, preacher, what happened? In closing, look at verse 44. So it came to pass. The Bible says, verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. The ship destroyed, but was breaking up, and they all got into the ocean. But it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Can I tell you what God says will come to pass will always come to pass. Just as God says it will. The question is, not are the promises true, not if the word of God is true. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Physical death will come to all. And then it says, after this, the judgment. What happens next is determined by our belief in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Bible's true. The promises, true. The help, exactly what we need. The question is, do you truly believe it? If you believe it, act upon it. If you're here today and you've never did what the Bible says you must do to be saved, you need to act upon it. Come to this altar this morning, act upon it. Believe it, do it. Call upon the name of the Lord to save your soul. If God has revealed something to you through the preaching or through the reading of the Word of God that you need to do that you have not done, act upon it. If you truly believe it, if you truly believe that there is a God, if you truly believe that this Bible is the Word of God, then act upon it. Do what the Bible says to do. If you've not followed a believer's baptism, you need to surrender that. You need to come to this altar and present yourself for baptism. If you're not a member of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and God says, I've established a church and my body, the believers make up my body, which is the church. God wants you to be a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Amen. Join the church. Get involved in serving God. Yes. Do whatever it is that God would have you do, because that is what's going to get you through whatever kind of trials this life holds for you. Do you believe God? Be bold in what you know to be God's will. If I could have every head bowed. With every head bowed, we've just read and studied this passage of Scripture in the book of Acts concerning what Paul did. And it all worked out just the way that God said it would. It wasn't an easy road. They had to go through a lot. But they were told exactly what God said would happen, and what God said would happen, it came to pass. It happened just as God said it would, and it will today as well. Do you believe God? Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for your truth and for your word and for this passage of scripture. And I pray that we would all learn from this and be willing to do whatever it is you'd have us to do. Help us, Lord, to know that we do believe. Bless in this invitation, in Jesus' name.